Good morning, everybody. I'm going to be reading the scripture for today. It's 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 16. If you want to try and find that on your phones or in your Bible, 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 16. And I'd invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. God's word.
All right, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Oh, I just lost my sermon. Just hang on for a second. There, it's back. Technology, I love it. Perfect. So, this morning we want to continue on in our series looking at different attributes of God. It hasn't, it's kind of an unofficial series, if you will, but we've looked at both God's sovereignty, his ownership over all things. We've looked at his holiness, that in his being that he is perfect and beyond our comprehension, beyond our ability to see and to understand who he is, and yet in that he works and connects with us. He works in his justice and righteousness to teach us the truth of his holiness. He teaches us in his righteousness and justice both to know him and his grace and love for us, but to be challenged to follow him and disciplined by him to be more like Christ. And so we want to continue in that, along those lines this morning, and we want to talk about God's wisdom found in this passage here. And so when we think of wisdom, we've probably all of us have known someone along the way that we would say was wise, that was able to speak into our life and share some sort of tidbit or some sort of information or give us some sort of direction that really made a difference in how we thought or the direction we were headed or the way we understood where our life was. Well, in God's wisdom, we're going to see that his wisdom is far beyond our wisdom, that it is incredible. The amount of wisdom and understanding that God has. And so we're going to look in 1 Corinthians that Dennis read for us this morning. But before that, let's look at a little definition. If this will work, it's on. It's going, it's not going. Are we paused? Maybe it's not going to work. We did test it, and it worked beautifully. Are you guys able just to click on to the next one? Or is it? Well, I'll just keep going as they figure that out. But A.W. Tozer and J.I. Packer gave us a bit of a definition of wisdom. And they say it this way: in the Holy Scriptures, wisdom, when used of God and good men, always carries a strong moral connotation. It is conceived as being pure, loving, and good. Wisdom, among other things, is the ability to devise perfect ends and to achieve those ends by the most perfect means. It sees the end from the beginnings, so there can be no need to guess or conjecture. Wisdom sees everything in focus, each in proper relation to all, and is thus able to work toward predestined goals with flawless precision. And so we've probably seen this come to play, as I said, with different people in our lives, where they're able to see from an outside perspective where our life is and what our life is headed towards, and they're able to speak into it. Now, God's wisdom, when we think of it, and we think of examples of it, we often see it in creation. It's probably some of the most fantastic examples. And in Psalm 104, verse 24, which Shane read for us earlier, it says, "O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures." And then again in Jeremiah 10, verse 12, it says, "But God made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding." So in God's wisdom, in God's understanding, in his knowledge that is far beyond ours, he was able to create the world that we know. He was able to set the earth on the axis it needed to be. Any degree off, as we know, many of us have read this or learned this, any degree off of that axis, we would not be able to it would not be able to sustain life. If it did not revolve around the sun in the way that it does, or the moon around the earth, if our atmosphere was not made up of the components that it was, we would not be able to live on this earth. Or if you look at different creatures along the way, how God specifically made them for their purpose and their to fit into their environment, to be used for specific things. And so God has, in his wisdom, created all things and has put all things in place to work in specific and meaningful ways. And we can look at that, and we could probably go the whole sermon talking about ways in which God has, in creation, shown his wisdom for us. But Paul in Corinthians here gives us a different perspective or a different way to understand and look at God's wisdom. In chapter 1, verse 24, he says it this way: "But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." In other words, probably the greatest example of God's wisdom for us is Christ, is the gospel, is the way in which God worked in the midst of a sinful world and brought his Son into the world at the right time, both to teach and to heal and to move, but most importantly, to give up his life in a way that only he could, out of his perfection, sacrifice himself for you and for me, for our sins. And Paul wants us to know, as we look in 1 Corinthians, that God's wisdom is shown in Jesus Christ and in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, back in the close to the start of chapter 1, we see that he's really dealing with divisions in the Corinthian church. In fact, the whole letter is a letter dealing with issues within this church. And at the beginning here, he starts with some divisions where the church seems to be dividing into groups, where one says, "I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas, I follow Christ." And what Paul's trying to do is he deals with those divisions and he works at it from the angle of talking about Christ's wisdom. He's trying to unify these groups out from understanding or looking at a human teacher, but pointing them to the wisdom and the truth of Jesus Christ. And that is, as a church of Jesus Christ, He is our head. He is the one that draws us together. He is the one that brings us into unity together. And so Paul in 1 Corinthians here, and in the first couple chapters of 1 Corinthians, is looking to deal with these divisions in that church. And he wants to do it from the perspective of God's wisdom in Jesus Christ and how that draws us together. Now, we're going to go at it from a little different angle this morning, because we want to focus simply on God's wisdom. And we want to do it out of this passage that Dennis read for us earlier in chapter 2. Verses 6 to 8, it really lays out three aspects of God's wisdom that we need to keep in mind, that we need to understand, that we need to grasp onto as deeply as we can. And from that, be challenged in our faith and walk with Jesus Christ. And so the first thing that Paul lays out for us in these few verses, starting in verse 6, he says, "Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age." And in other words, Paul's saying, this wisdom isn't of this world. The wisdom that is in Christ, that God has displayed for us in Christ, is not of this world. It's not of anything that we can put together ourselves in our human minds. And he says it's not of the rulers of this age. When we elect leaders, we hope that out of their experience, out of their training, out of their education, out of their influence and support around them, that they would lead us in wise decisions. Now, obviously, we don't always get that right. But that is our hope when we're electing new leaders. We hope that they would have some sort of wisdom in how our country runs to be able to make the right decisions that's best for all of us as Canadians. But their wisdom and our wisdom is simply based on what we see, is simply based on the perspective we have on what we see, and we just can't see the large picture. But Paul tells us here that God's wisdom is not of this world. It's not based on our human understanding, but it is a wisdom that is beyond that. In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 1, in verses 18 to 25, he says it this way: "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." It's interesting in that passage where he says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom." The world did not know God through wisdom. We've had all sorts of amazingly intellectual men and women throughout history who have had all sorts of philosophies and understandings of our world. We've had scientists who've been able to break into down to the smallest particle that we know. We've had educators who have been able to teach deep meanings of the things that happen in our world, but God says the wisdom of Christ has shown those understandings, the wisdom of these human beings, to be folly. We've, in the last decades, have leaned heavily on science to understand our world. And it has taught us amazing things. It has done amazing things in health, in understanding how things operate in our world. But Paul says here that that wisdom that can deconstruct to the very smallest particle in our world, that wisdom that can understand some of the greatest philosophies and understandings of our age, is nothing compared to his wisdom. And through that wisdom, and though we have that understanding, so many of us don't know God. We have not been able to find him in that. It doesn't matter how intellectual we are. It doesn't matter how learned we are. It doesn't matter how much we read. Because God's wisdom is not a wisdom of this world and of this age. Now, what's interesting in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 to 20, it says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." So it's interesting that Paul in Romans says that we can see the reality of who God is. We can see his wisdom in creation. But in 1 Corinthians, he tells us that in our wisdom, in our earthly human wisdom, we can't grasp, we can't accept, we can't believe in Christ. Because his wisdom is not of this world. And that's why he goes on to say in verse 7, "But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory." God's wisdom is hidden and secret. It's beyond our worldly understanding, our earthly understanding, our human understanding. We can't even, in the knowledge we have, we can't grasp who God is. And the reason that is because God has hidden his wisdom. It is a hidden or secret wisdom. Nowadays, we can go on Google and we can learn all sorts of things, right? We can go and get all sorts of kind of knowledge for whatever we want to understand. We, our Dodge Journey, shortly after we bought it, was having all sorts of issues at the start, really. But it kept draining the battery. We'd go out, I'd charge up the battery, it'd be good for a couple days, and then all of a sudden we'd go out and the battery was dead. So I went on Google. And there was all sorts of explanations of what it could be, but the one that fixed it was our passive entry was drawing between the key fob and the passive entry was always connecting and draining the battery. And because of Google and the knowledge that someone had put on Google, I was able to find that out, turn off the passive entry, and our battery's been good ever since. We can come up with all sorts of understanding. We can even go on Google and learn about creation and all the things that God has put in place and how he has done it. But God says that his wisdom and our ability to understand it is not something we can cause to happen by our learning. It's not just an intellectual pursuit, although that's part of it. We need to learn by reading and understanding and studying Scripture. But God says his wisdom is hidden. In Matthew 11:25, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children." You know, quite often it is those who are well-educated. Now, it's not always the case, but quite often it is those who are well-educated that have trouble believing in Jesus Christ. Now, it's not only them, right? But often it is. that in their understanding, in all of the education they have taken, has prepared them for whatever degree and whatever job they've had. But because the wisdom of God is hidden, we cannot in our study, human studies, understand it or grasp it. And that's not saying that it can't be known, but we can't see it as God's wisdom. In fact, Paul said here that Jesus Christ, the power and wisdom of God, is foolishness to those who are perishing, because it is a secret wisdom. In chapter 2, 9 to 13, let me read that for us again. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So Paul goes on to explain in chapter 2 here that, yes, it is a hidden wisdom, a wisdom that's beyond any of our education, any of the things that we can understand humanly. But God desires to reveal it to us. That God works by His Spirit to reveal it in our lives. If we have come to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the one who gave His life on the cross for us and rose again, if we believe that in our heart, it is because the Spirit has worked in us. It's not because we've studied so hard and we've come to understand it in our brains. Maybe that was part of your journey. But it's only by the working of the Spirit of God in our hearts that we can truly not only understand, but believe that Jesus Christ is the one who gave His life for us, that He is the one that we need, that He is the one that is the owner of our hearts and of our lives, that He is the Holy Ruler of this world and of this age. It is only by the working of the Spirit that we can know God, that we can love God. And so Paul, to the Corinthians and to us, tells us that yes, the wisdom of God is hidden, it's secret, but that His Spirit is working and has worked to reveal it to all of us. And then he goes on to say this, and this is just kind of a, I wouldn't say an add-on, but a smaller phrase within this verse 7 where he says, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. What an interesting phrase to have in there. And in other words, what he is saying is that God's wisdom is eternal. That not only is God's wisdom beyond our human understanding, not only is God's wisdom only able to accept it by the work of the Holy Spirit, but that God's wisdom began before we were even created. That God, and I talked about this before, that wisdom comes out of an ability to see the big picture and to speak into that. It often will come from someone with an outside perspective. Well, if we want someone with an outside perspective, God's got the largest, if you will, outside perspective we could want. Because he's spoken wisdom for our glory, for us to have a changed heart before the beginning of time. That God has seen what needed to happen, what would happen and what needed to happen for us to be able to know and love Jesus Christ and to have our relationship restored with God before anything ever happened. It's amazing to try to wrap your mind around that God knew each one of us, that each one of us would need the certain things that He put in place to lead us to the time in which we would love and believe in Jesus Christ. He knew exactly what, when and where Jesus Christ needed to come and what he needed to do and the steps that he needed to go through and that Jesus needed to be tempted and that Jesus would be the perfect sacrifice for us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 21, he says it this way, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. God knew before the foundations of the world that we needed Jesus Christ, that we would become sinful beings, that we would, in our rebellion, reject him as our Lord, and that he would send his Son in the perfect time, that we would know and love Jesus Christ, the hidden wisdom of God in our world that so many people don't know. So many people don't know. We need to pray for the Spirit to move in our world and in our hearts to be the convictor of sin and to be willing to follow him with the message of Jesus Christ to those who don't know. God knew before the beginning of time. God knew that you would believe. God knew that in our coming to Meadow Lake, what he needed to do beforehand and what he's going to do after. We've shared from our perspective, and some of you have shared from what has happened in the church, of how God has moved to bring us together. And that's just in the grand scheme of things, that's just a small perspective of the way that God is moving. Because his perspective is eternal. His wisdom is outside of this age. God is moving and has worked and continues to work out of his wisdom. So how do we respond to that? Well, earlier on in 1 Corinthians, again, chapter 1, verses 26 to 31, this is what Paul says. And I think important words to us when we think of the wisdom of God in our lives. He says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." God chose to call each one of us. He chose you out of all the world to reveal to you the truth of Jesus Christ. We didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. It's a work of God in our hearts and lives. We who are, the world might look at us and consider us foolish. But God has placed his wisdom in us, in Jesus Christ. He's called us out of darkness into light. And so he says, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. We should celebrate that God has called us out what it should lead us to as well is to humility. Let us boast, not in ourselves, not in our goodness, not in our strengths, not in our abilities, but in the fact that it is the Lord, by the Spirit, who has called us to be His people. It is Him who has done the work. It is Him who is our glorious Savior. And so out of our humility, we can love others and share that truth with them. And then secondly, it should lead us to trust in Him. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, classic verses, say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." When we understand the wisdom of God that's not of this age, that's hidden but revealed by His Spirit, that is coming from His eternal and perfect perspective, it should cause us to trust Him. And that's not always easy. To not lean on our own understanding. To not try to figure everything out on our own. There's things that we cannot grasp in this world. There's things that God does in our lives and the lives of other people that we cannot grasp. And we can't lean on our understanding, but simply trust Him and acknowledge Him in all our ways, and He will make our paths straight. He will direct our lives. And that's not easy to do when things don't look straight, when things don't seem the way they should be, when we can't understand why things are happening. It's difficult to lean on the wisdom of God and to trust that He knows what He's doing. But I've seen in my life and in this journey, and so have you, I'm sure many of you have seen ways in which God has moved and that we just could not put together ourselves. That we just could not direct in such a perfect way that we can know it's only because of the work of God. And it's only because of the work of God that we're here in Meadow Lake. It's only because of the work of God in my heart and in our family. It's only because of the work of God that our church here is ready to move ahead and to serve Him. For the healing that He's done and the work that He's done to prepare us for the good works that He has for us. It's only because of the work of God. And we can trust Him even when we don't understand. Even when we don't want to follow. To submit under His will and trust Him for what's ahead. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we can't really wrap our minds around the way You work, the wisdom that You have to know just how to bring things into being that honor and glorify You and that change us. Father, help us to trust You. Help us, even in the midst of that dark hour, to know that You are with us, to know that we are in Your hands, and to know that whatever comes, whatever the outcome is, that it is right and perfect because You are all wise, all powerful, all knowing. You are the perfect God, the holy God that we can trust. Lead us in this, Father, as we go from here. Lead us by Your Spirit. Lead us in our meeting this afternoon by Your Spirit, in Your wisdom, for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.